Thank you for downloading this episode of Just Ball Things NBA Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and give us a rating and review on iTunes. And now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
This week on JBT Pod, we'll be recapping all the action from round one of the playoffs and also previewing the next round of fixtures. We'll be discussing who our playoff MVP is as of round one. And taking a look at next year's playoffs, we'll be looking at which lottery team is most likely to be there. And the front office shift has already started in Orlando and Indiana. We'll be discussing that and where it leaves their respective franchises. So shut up, sit down, because JBT is about to begin. Hello, hello, all you beautiful people across Australia and indeed across the world. My name is Nick Busing at JBT Real NJ, and thank you so much for downloading this episode of Just Ball Things NBA Podcast. You're listening to episode 1.24 on this Sunday, the 30th of April. And with me today, as always, we have the J-Man J-Pod, Jack Emanuel. How are we, mate?
Good, mate. Just got home from seeing Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 about half an hour ago, and now just watching Man vs. Food in the background. So it's a solid Saturday evening for me here in London, Nicholas.
Nah, sounds it. Definitely. How was the movie?
Very good. Very good. Have you seen it yet?
No, I haven't. I don't think I'll be able to get there either. Money Why? And the like, and for lack of free time, all that good stuff.
Well, download it. Being illegal, I vouch for illegal downloading. I'm not get
Mate,
around it.
You're going to have the FBI knocking at your door right now. Right now. They're somehow monitoring this call.
Out of the 20 people that listen to our podcast, one of them is an FBI agent in like America.
You never know. So, hey, mate, and it's lucky to, guy, I'd say it's lucky to be 20.
Hey, I reckon we get a solid 25 on a good week.
Solid 25. That's the foundation of every good podcast.
Absolutely, mate. If you're getting a solid 25 and you got 108 likes on Facebook, then you're going pretty bloody well.
Yeah, all right. No, I can't argue with facts, mate.
Hashtag facts.
Hashtag alternative facts, yes. Playoffs, mate. You been watching them? You should be.
I haven't been watching them, mate, because they're on so bloody late over here. It's like the earliest playoff I can watch is at midnight, and all of them are on weeknights. So basically the first thing I do in the morning is I watch the starters, and then I watch all the replays of the games. I've been able to watch a few, and I'm actually going to be able to watch a few on Sunday. The two games that are happening, the Game 7 with the Jazz and Clippers, and your boys in the funeral series against the Boston Celtics kicking off their series on Sunday as well. So those two games are going to be rippers.
Starts at 3 a.m. over here. I'm not going to be able to watch it, which sucks.
And that's like, that's 6:30 p.m. for me, so that's like one of the only games I can watch.
Yeah. Nah, that's so annoying. Oh, well. I'll have to do a Jack and wake up to the news, watch the replays, all that stuff.
It's not fun, but it's necessary for sleep sanity.
Mm. Nah, definitely. All right, mate. Let's get started, eh?
Let's do it.
All right, we'll kick off with some general news, kind of going back to our old sort of fixture here. We'll briefly touch on this because we want to talk a lot about the playoffs. A lot has happened. So the Magic intend to offer Cavs GM Daniel Griffin their president of basketball operations position. Mate, good move, bad move, okay move?
Look, it's a good move if he accepts. I'm not sure. There's been a lot of negotiating happening between David Griffin and the ownership at the Cavs, but he's put together a championship team around LeBron James last year. I don't understand why you would want to go for the Orlando Magic for a lesser position at that. I mean, some people may have that drive or whatever, or he may not get offered a renewed contract for his GM position. But one, that would be a bad move by the Cavs, and two, that would be a huge coup for the Orlando Magic, who have fired Rob Hennigan, as we know, as we mentioned on our podcast earlier in the previous weeks. But I don't see it happening, but it's news nonetheless, because it shows that the Magic are actually suddenly looking at their organization in a bit of a better frame of mind, rather than just, like, you know, hiring and putting your free agency moves on a whiteboard. And, you know, they're at least sort of heading in the right direction, which is, you know, something we couldn't have really said for their season so far and earlier in the year 2016-17.
Well, let's hope that he's, if he does get appointed, he's a little bit more sensitive. He's a little bit more careful with sensitive information such as trades. But I don't think I saw David Griffin on that board. So that's a new acquisition for them.
Maybe that was like a ruse and they were all trying to trick us. Hide us from the real news.
Yes. But then why would they fire the... Anyway. We'll move on. Interesting news for the Magic there. Hopefully that pays off for them. In other front office news, Pacers president Larry Bird has stepped down as president of the team. General manager Kevin Pritchard?
Yep.
Will take over. Mate, why? Explain to me why this happened.
Yeah, it was surprising. And Adrian Wojnarowski of Woj, whenever he reports something, it's big news. So it sort of came out and the Twitter sphere blew up. The starters got on it and everything. But I'm wondering whether this, my immediate thought, and it probably was for you as well, does this have anything to do with Paul George? And what his impending free agency could, whether he's going to the Lakers or whether that's going to affect it. I think that's the biggest storyline surrounding this, because Larry is still going to remain with the organization in a lesser role, which I'm sure, you know, seeing all the memes and gifs of sad Larry Birdface, I'm sure he might have a smile on his dial for once.
Yeah, possibly. I was a bit taken aback by this, because he just came out with a video of him driving the Indy car for the Pacers All-Star bid. So I was taken aback when this news came down and he had stepped down. He's stepping down to lower positions. Yeah, he said that he's still going to have a role in the Pacers franchise, but obviously not as president. Where does that leave Larry Bird, do you reckon? Like, what do you reckon he'll do with his days? Play some golf with Bill Murray?
maybe play some golf with Charles Barkley. Who knows?
Playing golf is definitely on the agenda, though.
Oh, well, you know, old white men and golf. I think they go hand in hand. And then, Nicholas, look at the leader of the free world. How much time has he spent playing golf in his 100 days as president? How many times have we mentioned Donald Trump on our podcasts?
A few. No one likes it. Yeah. That'd be why. He's a figure of controversy.
He definitely is.
All right, mate. Next bit of news here. ESPN have laid off 100 employees in their network, including a slew of NBA reporters, Ethan Strauss, Mark Stein, Henry Abbott, and David Thorpe, amongst the reporters to be axed. Jack, what the hell happened? Like, these aren't no-name reporters here. These are very established, very well-read people.
They are. And Mark Stein is one of my favorite reporters and journalists in general when it comes to sport in the NBA. He's ESPN's version of sort of Adrian Wojnarowski. I was so surprised to hear that. Ethan Strauss, David Thorpe, hear him regularly on plenty of the podcasts that I listen to. It seemed from reading the statement from the head or the CEO of ESPN, it seemed like the direction they're going in is focusing on sort of on-air talent rather than, you know, the journalistic side of things and the reporting side of things, which I think is a sad state of affairs when it comes to... yes, it is just sport. You know, this isn't the New York Times or anything, but when you lessen the quality of any organization, especially when it's a media organization, it makes it worse for, you know, the readers and the viewers in general. It's just, I don't know, I was sad because, you know, I've been an aspiring NBA writer and writer in general when it comes to sports and music. So I just didn't like it. When people like Stephen A. Smith and all those, you know, yelling TMZ personality types, and they just yell at each other. Like, it, to me, that's not why I follow, you know, NBA journalism. I follow it for, like, you know, your Zach Lowe's, your Adrian Wojnarowski's, your Mark Stein's, your Mark Spears, the guys who write Howard Beck, quality feature articles that intrigue me. Like, you know me, Nick. I send you, like, probably an article or two per day. I'm obsessed. And, like, so it's just, I don't know. I wanted to chuck it in because I feel like this deserves some recognition, and it deserves at least a minute or two just having a bit of a chat about.
Definitely. I feel that, you know, the names that we mentioned, surely any reporter, like Bleacher Report even, will snap them up. They're so in the loop, and they're so, their know-how is, you know, second to none. Or maybe second, third, and fourth to the other names that we mentioned. But they're all very top tier NBA reporters. So I can't imagine why another broadcasting network wouldn't snap them up. Another news network.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, and I think that is very, very likely to happen. And the wonderful thing about the NBA media and sports media in general these days is that it's not. There are so many avenues out there, like you were mentioning, Bleacher Report. Bill Simmons' new outlet, The Ringer, has some great articles. Hoops Hype, you know, there's just so many avenues outside of ESPN. And just because these writers themselves have such an established base of fans and readership and viewership, that they won't have any problems finding any sort of work. At all, but, you know, hopefully we see them around soon, because I'm going to miss reading some quality Mark Stein articles and hearing some quality insight from Coach David Thorpe. But Nick, let's end on a happy note for our news section. What do you got for us? We've got some puppy news in the NBA.
Yes, in general, closeout interview antics that we've seen over the years, even in this series, in this round, sorry. Robin Lopez has brought his dog Muppet to the Bulls closeout interview today, or yesterday, sorry. Mate, this is just
so fluffy, Nick.
If you haven't seen the picture, it's an extremely, extremely fluffy dog. And I can't remember what the breed is, but it's like medium-sized dog and just full of curls. Just brown curls everywhere. It's adorable.
Like,
it's adorable.
If I was in... This is why people love the Lopez brothers. They're not your typical run-of-the-mill guys like a Russell Westbrook or a John Wall who wear capes to press
That was great. That was so swag.
It was pretty swag. But it just reminded me of Seinfeld when Larry David was wearing the cape as Frank Costanza's lawyer. Like, why was your lawyer wearing a cape? And I'm just like, that's John Wall right now. I mean, John Wall is Superman to an extent, I guess. He can fly. But I don't know. I would definitely bring my puppy to my job if it were socially acceptable. But
the kids would love it, mate.
They would absolutely love it. But should we have a mini break before we kick off with the DP of the week and smash the playoff news?
Yeah, may as well. We've got time. We'll be back with playoff previews, recaps, and all things discussion after this.
You're listening to JBT Podcast. Make sure you give us a like on Facebook.
Welcome back to JBT Podcast, mate. We were going to start here with some playoffs. Playoffs.
Boom.
It's been a good round far. Okay.
Billy Ray Cyrus.
What's happened to Billy Ray Cyrus? Good old Billy.
Billy Ray Cyrus, Nicholas, has changed his name to just Cyrus. And he also has an EDM version of Achy Breaky Heart coming out very soon. I feel like this is huge news, Nicholas.
Well,
huge news.
For the country music, you know, society, all of three people. I'm sure it is. But, you know. Well, anyway, I feel Cyrus is a good move, though. You know, that's just smart marketing.
Yeah, well, like, it'll look good on T-shirts.
Yeah, Cyrus. It's got a decent Cyrus. Ring to it.
It does.
Rather maybe than Miley, Billy Ray.
Maybe Miley should just change her name to just Cyrus as well. Or Girl Cyrus.
Billy Ray is a very hick name. I think maybe he's trying to, you know, get out of that niche, I guess.
Well, he's doing it well with an EDM-inspired version of Achy Breaky Heart.
Yeah, mate. Of course.
Imagine the drop. I'm wondering if it will be like a Skrillex banger or like a more tempo, like milder melodic Chainsmokers jam. I wonder.
Well, I guess we'll have to wait and see, mate. I know you'll be his biggest fan.
Damn straight. Sorry. All right.
Let's move on. Playoffs. Back to the playoffs hype. It's been an interesting round one, of course. Only one game seven, so there's still one game to play. It's Jazz and Clippers down at the Staples Center. Game seven, baby. Before we recap what's happening, let's just preview this one game because it is still round one. Clippers or Jazz in seven, mate? Who you got?
Look, I was chatting to some of the lads at basketball today, and he had a multi on for the Wizards to win, for the Cavs to win, and for the Clippers to win. And the one he was least confident about was the Clippers winning. I agree with him the fact that the Clippers will win, but I don't have any confidence in it at all. I have more confidence in, you know, the Wizards winning against the Celtics in game one, or obviously the Cavs winning in game one. But look, anything could happen, Nick. Like, you know, ISO Joe could just ball out. CP3 could, you know, pull out a point guard performance like he's known to do. He could rid himself of the tag of being that sort of playoff choker. I honestly don't have any confidence or conviction with going with either team. If I were to bet anything on it, like my mate did, shout out to Dwayne, I would bet on the Clippers just because they have home court advantage. But then again, the Jazz have beaten the Clippers at Staples in this series. So who knows?
Well, that's right. I was just going to mention that. Home court doesn't really seem to mean much here. I mean, Jazz took the first game with no Rudy Gobert and went 1-1, and then again, another split at the Jazz home, and then winning game five. That was the big one for Jazz. I'm still a firm believer in the golden rule, I guess, of you win game five and you're winning the series. It's a very, very pivotal game. Even if you do later lose game six, I think the Jazz will edge them. But it's a flip of the coin here. There are so many inconsistencies in this series that you're right. It could just flip and turn one way or another. I mean, having no Blake Griffin, I believe he's still out. He's out indefinitely, I believe. Having no Blake Griffin is going to severely hurt them. Having to rely on Chris Paul a lot more for points, JJ Redick. Even DeAndre to an extent, but you know, if you're relying on DeAndre to score the bulk of your points, you're not really gonna win. They can still get nice production from Austin Rivers and JJ, and obviously Chris Paul. Chris Paul will ball in Game Seven. It's what he'll do. But
I'll stop you right there, Nicholas. One thing I read today on The Ringer, really good article on the fact that CP3 has a he can go off, no doubt, but can he go off for like a huge LeBron offensive, John Wall like offensive performance?
No, I don't think he can.
He's
more
like
of a facilitator.
The Clippers need him to do that this game.
Definitely, they definitely do.
What? Okay, let's have an estimate here. If If the Clippers win, I say that Chris Paul scores 33 points or more.
Yeah, I'd say that's a decent line. I think he's only averaging about 22 a game so far, so that would be a massive, massive increase.
But he has all the offensive tools. He is a fantastic mid-range shooter. He can get his own from three as well. He is one of the best dribblers in the NBA. He can finish around the rack. He needs to step up offensively. Like, yeah, he's going to get plenty of lobs. JJ needs to hit his shot. He's been a bit down this series as well. He's going to need support, but at the end of the day, he's going to have to drag him across the line. And as much as he had a nice line against the Utah Jazz out there in Salt Lake City, he's going to have to do it tenfold again because Game 7 is just a completely different ballgame. It's like almost a series in itself, Game 7. There's just so much that can happen. Like, each quarter has so much riding on the line. And, you know, he's going to have to... I mean, he's aging, but he'll probably still have to play 40 to 43 minutes to get them across the line because, you know, Austin Rivers can chip in, but they don't bat very deep, especially with Blake Griffin out. So... I'm hoping for a big performance, but I hate the Clippers, so I want the Jazz to win. But at the same time, I feel like the Clippers-Warriors will be a bit more of a fun series. But, you know, who knows, Nicholas? It's like you said, we're both a bit baffled with which way this will go. But to finish it off, who have you got, by the way?
I'm going Jazz, yeah. Like I said, that Game 5 is pivotal. The win in Game 5, I think you can win the series.
Yep.
It's very dependent on, obviously, like, great offense, I think, will win this game because they're both very good defensive teams. If one guy can just, you know, raise above and just hit some unstoppable shots, Gordon Hayward's definitely definitely capable of that. Joe Johnson, Thringles. If Thringles... he could be a major X factor here because if he can hit five threes in the game...
Yeah, absolutely.
And he can. He definitely can. And he can catch fire from three.
He was on the Los Angeles Clippers. They got rid of him. And now he's balling out and just like middle finger to Doc Rivers. I mean, they said he was a great locker room presence, and they needed a wing player. And he is the perfect wing player for what they need. A guy who can shoot a bit, a guy who can handle the ball, a guy who can play some defense and dish out some dimes. He would fit perfectly with the Los Angeles Clippers right now, but he's doing some amazing things with the Jazz, and he's gonna get his own come free agency, that's for sure. But you know, let's hope Joe Thringles can drag him across the line.
That's it. I just think that just a final point: the Jazz are can be capable of great offense, and are always capable of great defense. I'm not sure without Blake Griffin that Clippers can do the same. And that's that is my final point. All right, so let's recap the series so far. We'll start with 1-8 in the East, Boston versus the Chicago Bulls. Bit of a topsy turvy this one here. I predicted the Bulls to win, or at least challenge them, which they did. I think I said that they were going to win. And those first two games were a testament to exactly what I thought would happen. You know, Boston aren't great on rebounds and Chicago absolutely smashed them on the glass. And I thought that would continue throughout the series, but then they kind of, again, they slumped into that classic Bulls mentality. Rondo went down, that didn't help morale, but even with Rondo on the court, I'm not so sure that they could do it. I mean, Boston came out.
They did, but I think Rondo was almost back to his Celtics days in the way that they needed another ball handler, and his defense was sneaky good as well. He was getting so many steals. But yeah, his injury was the pivotal point in that series, and they went up 2-0, and then they lost the next four. It's just going to be interesting to see now, and we might do some recaps of some teams in some later podcasts following all the teams departing until the finals. But it'll be interesting to see if D Wade comes back next season. I was expecting a sort of vintage D Wade performance, but you know, he's certainly not a 30-year-old or 28-year-old anymore. But where did the Bulls blow it up? Do they get rid of Jimmy? Do they get rid of D Wade? Do they keep both of them? Do they get rid of Rajon Rondo? Because he certainly looked good in those two games. He was with Jimmy Butler their best player. I'm very much looking forward to this Celtics Wizards series. That's for sure.
Yeah, no, the round two will be dynamic. But it was so hard to call this series because of the whole tragedy that happened with Isaiah Thomas. I mean, it could have gone either way. Personally, I think for a franchise player, I mean, you look at before the playoffs happened, John Wall and Jimmy Butler, probably like John Wall getting to, like, personally, I think he was a superstar at that point. I mean, he dragged us through the season, but Jimmy Butler at the start of this season was edging that superstar status as well, if not already there in some people's minds. This year hasn't been the greatest for him. His playoff series, especially if you compare those two players, John Wall has stepped up to another level, whereas Jimmy Butler has fallen off a little bit. He did have a few games where he scored. I think he scored high in a few games, but if you can't keep that consistency, it's hard to imagine rebuilding again around Jimmy Butler. So I think the Bulls have to cut their losses and let him go. Maybe I'd be willing to keep Rondo around, like you said, as a locker room presence. If you get him in a good frame of mind, he can be an amazingly influential player, especially to a young franchise player if they do end up getting one. But I think it is time to rebuild, and you need to get rid of Butler. And the whole fire Hoiberg chance. Oh, Jesus, it's
a mess out there in Chicago. Yeah, that's a big call, great. Boy. Big call by Jimmy Butler. I'm not sure many fans, Chicago fans, are like that. And I'd be interested to hear what Chaz would think about that. Being a massive Bulls fan, so I don't think they should blow it up because, you know, superstars are a dime a dozen. They're very rare to find. And if you got one, you don't let it go. I'm sure Indiana will be thinking about that with Paul George, with his impending free agency coming up. Yes, it's a completely different situation. Indiana are one of those sort of lesser market teams, whereas Chicago have the cachet of being, you know, the Michael Jordan team, and the, you know, a bigger city. They're not a New York or an LA by any stretch, but they're certainly in that second tier with, like, you know, say a Toronto or a Philadelphia. But, you know, we shall see. Time will tell, Nicholas. That front office has some big decisions to make. But what's the next series we're going to recap, big fella?
/preview. We will be, well, we'll do a little bit of both. We'll preview and recap the Bulls-Wizards game with the Bulls Atlanta. Boston Wizards game with the Wizards Atlanta recap. This was a topsy-turvy one, and I was very uneasy during this one. But again, my boys came through, played a massive game in Atlanta. The backcourt combined for something like 75 points that game just to close it out. John Wall went for 35 or 37. I don't have the stats in front of me, but it was a massive, massive game from the backcourt. Bradley Beal shooting really well, which he struggled in a few games in our losses, and he struggled especially. That inconsistency there. You know, when you're a shooter, you can have off nights, and I accept that. But when he's on, he's a smooth, smooth shooter. But Atlanta really took it to us. It was quite troubling. We had two massive games from Dwight Howard when Atlanta were at home, and I think that was a big X factor for him because Schroeder played well throughout all the series. Millsap played well, but had a nice little battle with Markeith. And I think where we lost it in those two games was our front court really let us down. Markeith getting into some foul trouble and Gortat just not performing at all. But stepping it up in game six and taking it out in six, it was a well-deserved victory, I think. Jack, what are your views?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Nick. I think the big take for me was John Wall elevated himself. This is where you make your name, and when it really matters in the season. And for me, I was chatting to some mates the other day about our top point guards in the league, and John Wall has elevated himself. He's a top five point guard in the NBA right now. He has the skill set that meant like what you want. He can shoot a three. He is as fast and as explosive as Russell Westbrook. And defensively, he's nothing to be shunned at either. He is the heartbeat of that team. And the fact that he's only 26 and Bradley Beal's only 23, God, I wish I went for a team like the Washington Wizards, Nicholas. I've never been more jealous of you. And I've never been jealous of you.
I don't have a lot going for me. No, I mean, I so agree with you. John Wall has really, really, really shown his stuff so far. I mean, he's averaging 29 points a game so far this series. And considering when you consider we had two bad losses in there as well, that is such an incredible effort. His shooting has grown in leaps and bounds so far, especially from three. I mean, that was always one of a critique in his game, that he didn't quite have that mid-range or three-point shot, but it's really come along this season, and it's been progressive throughout his, five-year tenure so far?
Yeah.
And obviously he's always had that amazing explosive capability just to get to the rim and finish. One of the best finishers at the rim that I've seen, and obviously I can't think of anyone who would be faster than him. Whenever I listen to games, it's the Wizards broadcast, so it might be a bit different, but they've said repeatedly that he is the fastest, if not one of the fastest, in the game so far. And it shows. I mean, he leaves people in his dust, and it's really stepped up to that superstar level, and he is a top five. He's a top five guard, but he just needs to not plateau from here, because you saw DeRozan and Lowry have an amazing playoff series last year. And the big questions were whether they can continue that form in the regular season. So if he can continue this sort of this usage and this efficiency next year, then he will be well on his way to become the best point guard in the league. But I digress. So let's preview this two big teams that I knew would happen, but hoped that we would get the Bulls. So Boston and the Wizards, mate. First of all, how many games and who's winning?
Look, I'd be very surprised if this series goes any less than six games. I feel like the Wizards have much more talent, especially offensively, to close this out in a six, I reckon. But at the same time, Isaiah Thomas, if he gets in that better frame of mind, and you know, they rally around him with Avery Bradley and you know Jay Crowder and Al Horford actually does some nice things, then you know anything could certainly happen. This one's a toss of the coin as well. But like we were sort of saying with a lot of the other teams, once it gets to the playoffs, you need those stars to sort of just get you a bucket. And the Wizards have two of those guys in Bradley Beal and John Wall. And it's their backcourt right now is the best in the NBA. It's a big call. Klay Thompson and Steph Curry might have something to say about that. But I just think right now, I'm not saying, you know, based on the whole season, but I'm saying they're the form backcourt of the NBA. So I've got Wizards in six.
In six, this has a seven game series written all over it. Two extremely fierce competitors, especially against each other. It's kind of formed into a modern rivalry with Marcus Smart and the whole Wizards team, really, because he's a giant prick. So that's going to be, you know, look, watch this space, watch this game, because there's going to be heated moments. If the regular season is anything to go by, we had a few confrontations and, you know, had to be split up by the ref. So it'll be interesting. It'll be a very, very fierce battle. But I think, obviously, I got to go Wizards in seven. We've played so well, but the games we haven't played, we've really, really struggled. Production from our bench, I think, will be key. If we can get some nice threes, kick out threes from Smith and Bogey and not on the bench, but Porter as well. Those length guys who can spread them. I think we'll be doing quite well, and we've got, you know, Otto Porter's a deceptively good rebounder. He is so fierce on the offensive boards, and we all know the struggles that Boston have on the glass. I think that we can steal a lot of our second chance points, so we should be looking at doing that as well. But yeah, I think that, you know, the Boston really showed their weaknesses, I guess, against the Bulls. And we are very much better than the Bulls, I believe. So we can really take it to Boston. It's a number one v number four playoff, but it doesn't feel like that. It feels a lot closer. Thankful we're versing Boston rather than the Cavs, poor Raptors.
Sure.
Speaking of which, the Cavs have swept who they play? I can't even remember now. It was so long ago. Yeah, the Pacers, that's right. I didn't watch much of this series because the result was inevitable, I felt. So the games itself were exciting if you look at the scoreline and how they progressed.
Oh, yeah.
But it was still a sweep. So yeah. What'd you make of the series?
Yeah, this was one of the series that I kept a really close eye on, obviously, because my favorite player, King James, was in it. He was asked the other day by a reporter, do you remember the last time you lost a first round game? He was like, no. He just tends to get out the brooms most first rounds. But this first round series, I remember hearing, I think it might have been on Jalen Jacoby or somewhere, they were saying it was the closest in terms of total margin out of the four games that any sweep has ever been. You know, there were 4 points, 6 points, 2 points, 1 point. They certainly weren't many double figure wins, that's for sure. But it was a lot closer than a sweep, Nicholas. It was, you know, it wasn't really one of those big brooms. It was more like, you know, say like a dustpan. Let's put it that.
It was a dustpan sweep, but
it was a dustpan,
a sweep nonetheless. And was it game two or game three? They were down 25 at the half,
and LeBron went bang.
Takes over.
It was one of the most amazing.
This happened, I text you, and I'm like, playoff LeBron is the reason I love this game. It is the reason. It's indescribable how his effect on especially like playoff games and how he can just flip a switch and just go crazy. I mean,
yeah, it's stupid.
He's averaging 33 points this series, shooting 45% from threes, taking five threes a game. So it's a decent conversion rate. And 54% from the field, so he's getting to the rack, he's, you know, getting to his spot, and he is just flushing them. It's beautiful to watch, and also bringing in a lot of players as well. He's a joy to watch, so I'll be definitely watching this next round, because this was an interesting one last year, nonetheless. But the Raptors versus the Bulls, we'll preview that one for the Bucks. I've said the Bulls about seven times in this podcast.
Big Bull fan.
The Raptors versus the Bucks was another interesting series. I kind of felt the Bucks would test them again. I think I said I think I did say Toronto in six. So mate, what did you make of this series? I mean, I loved it. I watched this series pretty closely.
I watched it pretty closely as well. It was certainly an up and down series, that's for sure. There was some blowout margins. The Raptors almost blew it away in that sixth game, but I think it was all summed up. I'm not sure if you did you see the trolling by the mascots, by the Raptors mascot and the Bucks mascot?
No, I didn't. No.
So I'll explain what happened. So the Bucks kept saying they had their mascot the deer. And they had him, like, at the game on Snapchat, tweeting out, snapping out these... you know how they have those boards which just have writing on it? He's like, the Toronto Raptors don't have a website because they can't get three Ws. And then they had the Raptor, they filmed the video of the Raptor, purchasing a domain of GoDaddy.com, Raptsin6.com, and then he just... folded his knee, he just put his leg over the other, and he was drinking some iced tea a la Kermit the Frog. It was, I mean, this is why I love sports sometimes, just for the bands and the trolling. It's just wonderful. And it was just as exciting as the series was, it's just wonderful to see some playful bands between some silly looking mascots.
Yeah, I mean, the off-court antics aside, this game itself was incredible. The series itself was incredible. Seeing this young team of Milwaukee just absolutely go through the Raptors at stages. You know, all thanks to poor performances from the front, from the backcourt as well. Not having quite the prolific start that they did last season. It could pick up. They got through the series, which as well, I think Valanciunas was a real disappointment this series. They had to start playing small towards the end, considering his playoff performances last year. I think they can still get some good games out of him. The next series will be telling of that, I think. But yeah, I mean, well deserved. No surprises, I think. It was more of a surprise to see the fashion in which the Bucks won.
Yeah.
And Giannis, this young team, absolutely going at the Raptors and taking them on, you know, taking them head on, which was brilliant to see. I look forward to seeing them in later years in the playoffs and see their progression.
Oh, sure.
Because Giannis was an absolute superstar in this one. But let's talk about the big one, the Cavs versus the Raptors. Rematch, right, mate. Rematch of the Eastern Conference Finals last year. Obviously meeting up a little bit earlier, but Does this have Game 7 written all over it?
See, I'm going to go 6 again, Nicky boy. The Raptors are a better team on paper this year. Serge Ibaka and PJ Tucker add a lot defensively, especially when you've got a guy named LeBron James, and those two guys can guard him and protect the rack better than anyone. But Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love, LeBron James, Tristan Thompson is one of the best rebounders in the game. And need I say it, LeBron James, just LeBron James. I just can't see it a way that they lose unless something miraculous happens in Toronto and it starts, you know, snowing so much that LeBron James gets like, you know, a fever, like a high fever because of too much snow or something. But then again, it's summer in Toronto, but it'll probably snow anyway. Cavs and...
Yeah, anything can happen, obviously. Our prediction obviously take into the fact that, you know, their current teams now, if they play throughout the whole series. I'm saying Cavs in five. Cavs are so turned on right now. LeBron James is not going to have a replay of what happened last time. I mean, they swept their way to the Eastern Conference Finals and then were taken to six last year. Raptors haven't been as impressive so far from what I've seen. They can change it. They can turn it around and they can make this a game seven. But how they're playing right now, I can completely see the Cavs going through them. Even though the Pacers did challenge them in every single game, I think the Cavs will do the job just right. Yep. LeBron will obviously have another brilliant series. He'll have another brilliant playoff campaign. But yeah, I can't see the Cavs losing. Obviously, it's just a matter of how many games. But I'm going 5. I think that they'll win both at home, and then they'll sneak one at the what's the nickname for their stadium?
I think it's called? Is it the United Center?
Yeah, I can't remember. I can't remember the actual acronyms.
In
Toronto, they'll win one in Toronto, and then they'll come back home and finish it off. So that's the Eastern Conference, mate. We'll move on to the West, maybe a bit more interesting. We've got the Warriors and Blazers. That was a bit of a wasn't really shocking, was it?
No, we said the dustpan. It was a dustpan sweep. Well, the Warriors got out the biggest broom you've ever seen.
It's like an air blower, like a leaf blower. That's how big that sweep was. Yeah, that was
a leaf blower or a bloody jet engine or one of those industrial, I don't know, Jim's Mowing sort of stuff. I don't know. Shout out to Jim's Mowing. the Warriors are the best team in the NBA right now, and they are going to win the championship unless LeBron James does something. Yeah, we should get like a LeBron James mentioned counter in this episode.
It's gonna be a LeBron factor. Yeah, well,
but,
yeah, definitely.
There's not a lot to say about this other than the fact that, you know, KD's back. He had a minor injury, but his addition makes them look unstoppable now. Steph's balling, KD's balling, Klay's doing his thing. Draymond is a defensive monster. I don't envy the Jazz or Clippers. I think that they could get it done in 5. Maybe the Clippers could take it to a 6-game series. But I think the Warriors, like you said about the Cavs, they're so on right now that, you know, they might not even lose a game. Who knows? Because this team is so good. It's scary. And it pains me to say that because I like a bit of competitive, equal competitiveness when it comes to sport. But, you know, when there's a team that's this good, you just got to appreciate it. So Warriors are a dynasty. For me, they'll get it in 5.
Yeah. This series was a complete washover. I mean, it was a joke. And people are saying that the Portland were disappointing. I wouldn't say so much as disappointing as the Warriors were that good that it made them just look so bad. They still got decent production from, obviously, their two superstars. And that's what you want. Against the Warriors, it's never going to be enough. They are just a league above, especially Portland. And whoever they face in the next round, be it the Clippers or the Jazz, they're going to smoke them again. 5 or 6 games. If it's the Jazz, I can't even see it going to 6 games, to be honest. The Jazz might have 1 or maybe 2 games where they lock them down defensively. If they can keep them below 100, that would be an amazing effort. But I still don't think that they can win, even if they do keep them to below 100. Again, the Jazz just don't generate a whole bunch of offense. So the Clippers would be the best matchup, I think, for them, who can maybe take it to 6, but that's also going to be a struggle because their home court hasn't exactly been a fortress for them. So again, I'd say Warriors in 5, no matter who they play. All right, next series we'll go to the Spurs and Memphis. This was a surprisingly good series considering the first 2 games and how they went down. Once those first
take
2 games,
that data, Nicholas.
Take that for data. Yeah, that was
how good was
that?
Was
so
that was
good.
So good.
That entire press conference was so good.
Gold.
He had a point. I mean,
yeah.
For exactly the reason that he said, for such a rough and tumble team to not get respected at the free throw line, I think it does come down to pedigree. Just as he said, you know, him being a rookie coach and Pop being a vet. Even though they obviously, they won't say that it plays on their mind, and they may not even realize, but it has to. When you've got someone as good as, you know, as good a defensive team as the Spurs, they can get away with a bit more, I feel. And there were a few instances where that was the case. But this was, again, set in stone. I think the Grizzlies haven't quite looked as good as they did at the start of the season. When Conley got injured, they fell off a little bit. Obviously, he's back, but they haven't quite looked the same. Defensively, they are monsters. Again, this is two very, very good defensive teams coming up against each other. And Marc Gasol in this series was incredible. He has been a joy to watch all series. I love...
Mike Conley was incredible as well, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, Mike Conley, yes, of course. He had some big games. I'm a massive fan of Marc Gasol, though. Just everything he's done through the season, his transition, I guess, into this stretch big man has been amazing, and his role in the modern big man, you know, story has been inspiring, mate. But the Grizzlies really took it to them in those next two games. Obviously, a big overtime win. Marc Gasol being as clutch as ever. And even Conley forcing the OT, it was a good series, surprisingly good considering how the first two games went down. What do you think? What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. Conley certainly elevated himself and made his name heard. He's always perennially underrated, but I feel like being at a team in Memphis, it's hard to get that recognition. But he's an all-time point guard, and you know, he's in that sort of same category as Damian Lillard. He continuously gets snubbed, but I'm sure he'll get the respect he deserves following this series. But you know, when you've got generally the best player in the starters, made a good point in the fact that at the time the Spurs had the best player in the series, Kawhi Leonard, but the second, third, and fourth best player, Mike Conley, Marc Gasol, Zach Randolph, they were all on the Memphis Grizzlies, but the greatness of Kawhi Leonard was just too much. It's just whether that greatness can segue us into the Houston series, whether Kawhi can sustain that, because he's going to need to be on offensively and defensively against an offensive juggernaut, which is the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, definitely. I mean, all these playoffs... all these playoff pictures, I guess, series, all have their merits. If you look towards the Houston and Thunder game, I mean, this one was the series, what everyone would be looking for, and it did deliver to an extent. I mean, we had Russ having some huge, huge games, as well as Harden having some low key huge games, still huge games, but low key huge games compared to what Russ was doing. But it's all about the W, mate. And for me, that just proves how important Harden is to this team. And just his ability to get these wins. Obviously, they've got better players around them, but going back to the starters here, Tass made an amazing point with, they are NBA basketballers. Like all of them, they are professional basketballers, and we're saying that, you know, they can't make a shot to save their lives. Well, that's not necessarily on them. There could be a lot of factors that hinder their performance that day, or you know, that sequence. They're professional basketballers. They have at least proven in their time that they are good enough to play in the Oklahoma City Thunder. So the argument that Harden has better pieces around him is valid to an extent, I think. It doesn't affect the MVP race at all, but you know, the court of, you know, public opinion. I feel that this series would have swayed a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because obviously everyone pro-Russ towards the end of the season, and then this has just taken the wind out of his sails completely, I feel. A 4-1 victory to the Rockets, when I thought that they would definitely press closer. I definitely thought they would push him harder than that.
It's like with the Pacers, I think it's, and the Bulls for that matter, it's certainly going to be an interesting, the Oklahoma City Thunder, and, you know, it's going to be interesting seeing, going into the 2017-18 season, what type of player Russell Westbrook will be. Will he be this manic triple-double master, or will he defer a bit more to his teammates? Will Oladipo step up? He's on some big money. Will Steven Adams step up? He's also on some big money. But I think the more exciting thing to talk about, Nick, is this Houston Rockets-San Antonio Spurs series is probably, with the Wizards Celtics, the most exciting, hardest to predict series out of the eight teams that are left in the NBA, in the NBA Finals.
Definitely. What I think will come down to is consistency for the Rockets' sake. We all know the Spurs are an incredibly consistent team. They have been over years, and especially over series. They can get it done on the defensive and offensive end. Kawhi obviously being a major player there in both on both sides of the floor. It just comes down to whether the Rockets can hit 23s in the game. I think when you play the style of game that D'Antoni does, it can, you know, come in ebbs and flows. It can be very streaky. So I think the Rockets can win, but I don't think they will. Like, they would have to have some crazy games, too many crazy games in a row to win. So I think the Spurs will take it out in six.
Personally. Yeah, see, this is one that I've tossed up with so many times, and I was literally going to say Spurs in six myself, but I'm going to go Houston in six just for the sake of, you know, a bit of difference. And the fact that I think they can. I think their offensive system is phenomenal. Patrick Beverley is a great defender. And I think that they can trouble the Houston Rockets. And I think Kawhi is probably one of the playoff MVPs right now, but his energy on the defensive end is certainly going to hinder his offense probably somewhat. But, you know, I'm going to go Houston in six, but, you know, either one of us could be quite easily wrong, because these are two of the best teams in the NBA, and one of these teams could quite easily challenge for the championship. But, you know, it remains to be seen, but it's going to be a fun series, no doubt.
Yeah, definitely. I'm with you there with one of the most exciting series of round two. But, yeah, I mean, Spurs have just too much talent. They're too good. They're too consistent. And I think that they'll just, yeah, they'll get it done against the Rockets. But I can foresee a situation where the Rockets win, because they can, you know, we've seen they can go off offensively. And they've still got a few decent pieces that bring in a decent defense as well. So, yeah, it'll be, you know, watch this space. It'll be a very, very interesting series nonetheless. So that's it. That's all the playoff pictures. Was it? Or did we miss something? No, that's it. We'll take a break here and we'll get on with some other discussion points. So we'll be back.
You're listening to JBT Podcast. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/JBT Podcast.
Welcome back to JBT Podcast. All right, we've got our playoff pictures done, recaps and previews done. Super excited for round two. So now let's get into some more discussion about that. What happened in that round one. We'll start off here with, who do you think so far is eligible for the playoff MVP? It is still early days, but if the award were to be awarded right now, who would take it? Who's your playoff MVP for round one?
Look, it's got to be LeBron James. He's third in LeBron James. He's third in scoring, fourth in assists, and number one in steals per game at three. He's been ridiculous, and I think if you have any other viewpoint, just go back and watch that second half in that game three against the Indiana Pacers. That was just bonkers. An argument could be made for a Kawhi Leonard, maybe even a Steph Curry. John Wall certainly has a claim to a James Harden, but LeBron, like you were saying earlier, Nicholas, LeBron James, playoff LeBron James is just otherworldly.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue with a sweep as well. Obviously, wins do come into play here. He was able, he literally won all four of these games for his team. If you weren't going off wins, though, could Russell Westbrook have a case? 37 points, shooting, yeah, not amazingly, but not bad considering the volume of shooting he was taking. You know, 10 assists as well, almost 2.5 steals, almost 10 rebounds a game. Sorry, 10 rebounds a game. Could he, you know, averaging a triple-double over a series? He can be talked about, but again, it's more of a fact that, you know, what do you value more? The whole MVP race again, do you value wins? So it's hard, but he definitely has stamped himself on this series. And, you know, 37 points a game average total across five games is incredible. It's just unfortunate that he is now out because we, you know, Russell Westbrook's season is now over. But, yeah, I mean, if you're going on sheer wins and performances, LeBron James, I mean, if they hadn't have swept, you could argue your players like John Wall, who had an amazing, you know, six games. Like you said, Kawhi Leonard as well. Was there any other standouts, I'd say? So I think we're pretty safe on LeBron James, but any other standout players you want to mention?
Look, there weren't really major standouts. I mean, if you look at the Golden State Warriors, sweeping team, they had some amazing contributions from Steph Curry. Defensively, Draymond Green was bonkers. He's averaging 4.2 blocks per game in the playoff series.
And those two blocks to win the game. And he was 2-on-1 and blocked it. Oh, making his case for Defensive Player of the Year. Not that it matters, but oh my God, that was incredible. One of the best defensive plays I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's certainly up there with one of the best defensive players I've ever seen as well. But, you know, James Harden could certainly... Chris Paul has been quite good for the Los Angeles Clippers. And I mean, if anyone's going to win it for them, it would be him. The Utah Jazz have had some performances from Gordon Hayward, but then again, he's been often overshadowed.
He had a few stinkers as well.
Exactly.
All these players are commendable, like Mike Conley as well. He's averaging 25, 27, I think. I can get the stats up, but they're just not as good as LeBron James. I mean, it seems to be the only choice right now, considering the sweep as well. It's hard to deny him after that. He's averaging 24 a game, Mike Conley. But yeah, it's all of these players are commendable, but it's LeBron James, and if he continues this form throughout the... Even if they don't win the championship, if he continues this form, then... Well, if he continues this form, it's hard to imagine them not winning the championship. But I'd put him down for another playoffs MVP, which would be, what, he's like sixth? Something crazy like that?
Something like that.
He's a ridiculous playoff performer, and I look forward to seeing him this series. All right, and one last bit here, just a little bit of a fun piece here. Looking forward to next year's playoffs, enough about this year's playoffs, we've talked it to death, mate. Which lottery team do you think is most likely to make the playoffs next year?
Well, Nicholas, I'm going to go east and west here, and I'm going to go through the teams that didn't make it in the east. So we've got the Brooklyn Nets, the Charlotte Hornets, the New York Knicks, the Detroit Pistons, the Miami Heat, the Philadelphia 76ers, and the Orlando Magic. Now, there aren't a lot of teams that really stick out in that bunch, obviously, other than the Brooklyn Nets. Jeremy Lin. No, joke. I mean, but out of the two New York teams, we're more likely than the Knicks at this stage. That is certainly for sure. But I feel like, as a Smoky, I mean, the Miami Heat were that close last year. If they can actually win some games in the first, you know, couple of months of the year, then they're certainly a shot. But the Philadelphia 76ers, if they have a healthy Joel Embiid and a healthy Ben Simmons, there's some serious talent there. I wouldn't be surprised if they did a bit of Milwaukee Bucks and sort of snuck in there and based off the talent that they have on that roster. Who knows? The sky's the limit for them. But I feel that it all comes down to health for them. They could just as easily be a bottom five lottery team again. So I'm going to throw that out there for my East team. I'm going to go Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah, it's hard. The East is hard this year. Again, I'd be leaning towards the 76ers as well. But again, if you can guarantee me the health of their squad, then definitely. Definitely. Yeah. They're better than the Bulls with a fully healthy 76ers team. But you can't guarantee that. I wouldn't even say it's a 50-50 chance. The likelihood of them staying healthy, considering the history, is very, very low. But if they can, then you know, props to them. I think it might be the Pacers. The Pistons. They underachieved this year significantly. They had a very, very poor ladder run to the season. But I think they have the talent to do it. I think Reggie Jackson and Drummond are an amazingly good duo. And
good. That's the key word you just used. Yeah, no, Nicholas. They're good. They're not great. And have they plateaued? Sorry. They are two very, very good players, but good players don't make playoffs, don't get you to the playoff. Drummond needs to be a beast. Reggie Jackson needs to be an elite point guard. They weren't elite by any stretch of the imagination, and I can't.
Well, that's what I mean. But that was an underachievement for them this year, and they went a few games, four games below 500. 500 would have gotten them in. You think they can't? You think they can't win five games next year? An extra five games, I should say.
Look, it's. I think it all comes down to Reggie Jackson. Andre Drummond, I feel, has plateaued. I love to study my big men's game, and he is the opposite of what the whole unicorn fad phase is coming in with Nikola Jokic, Porzingis, Karl Anthony Towns. He has no offensive game. He can certainly get a rebound. He's a poor man's version of DeAndre Jordan. That's what he is. Reggie Jackson, yeah, he can be quite a good point guard. And he had a horribly underwhelming season. And he can certainly win them five more games, but that remains to be seen. I feel like if I'm backing someone in out of them and the 76ers, I'm going to back, you know, the health of Joel Embiid, who is an offensive monster and, you know, an otherworldly talent and 7-foot point guard in Ben Simmons. But look, it's an interesting pick, and I could be eating your face as I've so profusely said I would do since the start of the season. Next year, I mean, who knows?
I say the Pistons, but again, I said the East was very hard. It's not guaranteed by any... I'm not saying that the Pistons will make the playoffs. I still don't think they will. I think that the playoff situation will stay the same. I mean, unless the Bulls blow themselves up, and then the Pistons might be a sneaky chance in. I can't see the Heat repeating what they've done this year, but, you know, that could happen again. You could have some major performances from Deion Waiters again. I don't know. Hard to see that happening, though. But we'll move on to the West, mate. I think this was quite, this is significantly easier. More for the fact that there are lottery teams who can make the playoffs. Like the choice, there are a few, so the choice might be difficult, but there are a few teams to select from.
Yeah, I would say there would be probably three. So going through the teams that didn't make it, you've got the Denver Nuggets, the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Dallas Mavericks, the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Los Angeles Lakers, New Orleans Pelicans, Phoenix Suns, Sacramento Kings. Those are your teams that didn't make it. Mm-hmm. Now, we could certainly rule out the Sacramento Kings. They are a basket case.
Yep.
We could certainly rule out the Los Angeles Lakers unless they can get Paul George, which I don't see happening this season.
Well, they had a good start. Just on that briefly, I agree. I don't think, like, in terms of chances, considering their opponents, they're not going to make it before the other ones. But they'll be a decent team last year. They had a good start last season. They kind of fell off the cliff a bit.
And now they're one of the worst teams in the NBA.
Yeah, 26 and 56 isn't exactly a record to boast. But I don't know. I liked the... Oh, they lost Lou Will as well. That was massive for them, losing Lou Will. I think that they might be able to, you know, not make the playoffs, but not finish 14th either. I think they might be a ninth, 10th team next year. D'Angelo Russell is an amazing player. You got Larry Nance, who's there. He's bloody, you can dunk all over everyone. I like them. I like the Lakers.
Nick, I know you like the Lakers. Do you remember earlier in the season?
Don't remind me that.
About the Lakers or the Grizzlies, and I guaranteed the Grizzlies, and you on the Lakers bandwagon, and who won that bet?
I didn't say that. From what I recall, I said the Lakers were a smoky to make the playoffs as if they continued their form, which they obviously did not, and lost Lou Williams. I can't predict that shit.
I think you were wrong, mate.
But
admit it.
I said that the Grizzlies were not going to maintain that four spot, and they didn't. They finished seventh.
That's
bad.
That's
bad. Considering where they were,
I am going.
They were always going to make the playoffs because if you look at the gap between eighth and ninth, seventh and eighth, like the gap between that. I mean, the top seven was pretty much solidified.
I am going to find the audio, Nicholas, from our previous episodes, and I'm literally going to go through it tomorrow, and I'm going to have a bit of a squiz. I'm trying to find which episode it was. If you guys know, holler at us. I think it might have been episode 4. It was certainly under our 10th. It'll be worth looking into. But I feel like it comes down to three teams, and I'm sure you'll probably agree with me, Nicholas. The Denver Nuggets, who just missed out by the hair of their chinny chin chins and bloody 50-point triple-double Westbrook.
That three.
Oh, dear Lord. And then you've got the Minnesota Timberwolves, who have probably the best, the biggest upside or the highest ceiling or roof, as Michael Jordan would say. But defensively is where they certainly lack. And then who knows what could happen with this double-pronged big experiment out in New Orleans with... You've got probably the two best centers in the NBA on one team in Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah.
If they can build a decent roster around that, and Jrue Holiday can become, say, a Dennis Schroeder-like point guard, and, like, you know, be, or even a Jeff Teague-like point guard, and, you know, give you some consistency, or even George Hill, then I feel like the New Orleans can certainly take the next step. But I'll go with Denver because Nikola Jokic has significant upside, and their assets right now, they could make a big splash in free agency and they could certainly build around him. But I would be not surprised at all if Minnesota or New Orleans took that spot as well.
Yeah, Minnesota's had a dreadfully underperforming season. You finished 13th in the conference with 31 wins. They should be doing better. You know, Cat is a superstar at the moment. He's incredible, half man, half amazing. And Wiggins, they've got pieces around them. They need a point guard. They need Chris Dunn to really step up here. He's had a very disappointing year. Your pick for Rookie of the Year, I believe. Jack.
Touche. I'll take that as a no.
Pelicans need to sort their shit out. It's hard to predict where they're going to be. I mean, they could go either way. So I'm not going to pick them. Fuck it. Let's do it. I'm going to go Dallas Mavericks. Do it for Dirk. If he plays his 20th season, it's going to be a playoff season. I can see it. Let's go, Dirk. But seriously, it'll be the Nuggets. 100% the Nuggets. But I really want the Mavs to make it for Dirk.
Give him one last hurrah.
The addition of Harrison Barnes there has been deceptively good, actually.
He surprised us. We both were not fans of his.
Yeah, I mean, he showed that he has, you know, maybe not a max player, but definitely a lot higher than we thought he was going to be. So that addition there has been great. They had a poor end to the season. They went 2-8 in their last 10 games. But they were definitely in that playoff picture as well until they, you know, fell off. So they could make it. I don't see him making it over the Nuggets, though. Their talent is just so supreme. That's my pick. Easy done there. I thought that was a little bit easier than the East. The East was a bit difficult because there's so much bad in the East. There's a bit more quality in the West. Those are our playoff picks for next year. Hopefully one of those lottery teams can make it in. I think they will. Can't see the Blazers doing what they did again. I don't think they'll make it this time. Anyway, that's not what we're talking about. So that has concluded our podcast, mate. Have you got anything else you want to speak about briefly? Any standout performances? I don't know. Whatever you want to talk about. Any off topics?
Mate, I just wanted to tell the people that anyone around London listen to us. Keep an eye out for the J-Man doing some open mic stand-up. I'll be spitting fire, as much fire as is on this podcast. And Nicholas, when you're heading over, mate, I need all the support I can get. Please laugh at me. You laugh at me enough already, so at least laugh at me when I actually need it.
That's the joke.
That's the joke. I should bring some grenades and a machine gun.
Now that'll be entertaining.
That'll certainly be entertaining.
All right, best of luck for that new endeavor, Jackie. I'll hit you up with the standard spiel. Just as ever, guys, thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of Just Ball Things NBA Podcast. You can find us on iTunes and any decent pod center. And remember to rate and review the show because it'll help other people find us and help add to the conversation. If you want to get in contact with the show, you can hit us up on Twitter at JBT Podcast or using the hashtag JBT Pod. You can get in contact with us personally on Twitter at JBT Real NJ is myself and at the J-Man JBT is Jack. You can reach us on Facebook at facebook.com/JBTpodcast or Instagram at JBTpod and through email as well if you've got any questions, queries, additions, anything you want to talk to us about on Gmail at JBTpodcast@gmail.com. Remember, it's you guys that make this show great. We love your involvement and we'll give you a shout out on the show if you do reach out to us. So we appreciate any and every post heading our way. So until next week.
Keep listening, superstars.